Yeah.
I didn't even get out my sweat.
Great, we're recording.
Yep.
All right, okay.
Well, I can do a roll call then.
Yep.
Lee Wells.
Nope.
And Sherry, are you there? Oh, she's on mute.
You turned her off.
I'm here.
Oh, great. Okay.
There we go.
Awesome. Okay.
I'm myself muted.
Okay. Yep, so Sherry's for District 2. Bill?
Who?
Bill?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Yep. Did you say Billy?
No.
Bill's here.
It's kind of been a while since you recalled that.
Jerry?
Here.
Randy?
Here.
Justin O'Day? Not so much. And I'm here. I'm Justin Colell. Chris is here. Kevin?
Hello.
John's over there. And we also have Don in attendance. Hey, Don. All right. Great. Okay. Roll call done.
All right. Next item will be the review and vote on the minute from last meeting.
Sherry, did you have the minutes?
I do. I'm looking at them right now.
Oh, great. Okay.
Get the other one.
Okay. Additions, corrections, or a motion to approve?
Move that we approve them.
I'll second it. Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, back to you, Justin.
Great, okay. Third item on the agenda. I'll give some updates on our field inspection program. And Sherry, can you see my screen that I'm sharing?
I can see it, yep.
Great, okay. So this is our Home and Garden Idea Fair booth. We were there at the Home and Garden Idea Fair back in April, and on Saturday we were able to make contact with 895 people, and on Sunday it was 259 people. So the total for all the Home and Garden Idea Fair, 1,154 people, which is pretty respectable. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of an increase, but pretty much on par with what we've seen in the past. And pretty much everybody who worked the Home and Garden Idea Fair would tell you that these were very on-target interactions. The Home and Garden Idea Fair is really good for our specific subject because people are there about their garden, about the plants, and we have people are milling around, and they come back and see us again and again and again, actually, as they're going from one side to the other. They pick up their plants and go over and see some other booth, and they're walking past us multiple times. I saw somebody come around 3 and 4 times, so.
Great.
Yeah, it's a very good education and outreach opportunity. All right, and garlic mustard is in full swing right now. We have just about the same situation that we always do for the extent of the infestations. They're still all in the same places, basically. But we do have some improvements in some areas. So we still have the Salmon Creek area, that's one of our major infestations, and then the the end of the Washougal River, where the mouth empties into the Columbia. So the city of Camas and a little bit of places in the city of Washougal have a lot of it. And then we have some satellite patches around the county as well. But of those two major infestation zones. We've been working hard in the Salmon Creek watershed to notify the private landowners along there. And then also where it's county land to control the garlic mustard and eradicate it where we can. And just to bring you up to speed, Sherry, the difference between control and eradication really is a legal term. And in our case, control is when you stop the plants from propagating, so they aren't able to release seeds, or if they use creeping roots, the rhizomes, then they're not able to spread that way or release any bulbils, tubers, you know, whatever way they reproduce. But the roots could be remaining versus eradication, where you actually get rid of the roots as well. So what we're doing where we're in Salmon Creek is either spraying earlier in the season to kill the roots, or pulling up the whole plant to kill the roots as well. So I wanted to just highlight Camas, because the city of Camas actually owns quite a bit of land in that last area that I mentioned, where the Washougal River empties into the Columbia. And so since they have that greenway, we've been working with them for several years. This year is the first year that they've actually been spraying in earnest. They have a contractor and have already been out doing some work, and they have more to go. But this is a big point of progress for us. So I wanted to highlight on that one. And then poison hemlock is also in full swing. The plants are very healthy. This has been good conditions for poison hemlock to grow. Big and bushy, and they look like, you know, super powered ferns at this point, where they can be quite tall. But the property that we had a civil infraction and a special arrangement last year with B&B Investments, that landowner has done some spraying. And so it looks like we have a good round of first control that we'll have to keep following up with to make sure that it doesn't have a few more that come up, because it can do that. But yeah, first round looks pretty good. So pleased to report that we do have control work being done at B&B Investments.
When they do that spraying, there are plants coming up then.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're noticing.
And what happens to the plants that come up after? Is there still spray there that will get to them? Or?
No. Mm-hmm. No. No. Almost all of the work that we see being done is post-emergent herbicide. Mm-hmm. If they do put down pre-emergent herbicide, that's pretty rare. Sometimes some people put down like Caseron or something like that. But most of the time, it's post-emergent. So, yeah, if they put down successful pre-emergent treatments, I wouldn't see anything. You know, just would stop it before it comes up. So, yeah, we just see the plants curled over at this point, which is a good indication that they've been sprayed.
What are they using for a post-emerge? Are they using Roundup or 2,4-D or what? You know.
Well, no, it can't be Roundup, because Roundup wouldn't make them curl over.
Right.
They would just be in place and turning yellow.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So we know they're not using glyphosate products. I would imagine that they're probably using something like dicamba, 2,4-D, or maybe triclopyr. Could be triclopyr.
Said Latigo works real well too.
Oh really? Latigo. Yeah. I'm not familiar with it. Okay.
The only thing that we've noticed doesn't work very well on poison hemlock is aminopyralid, the milestone. For whatever reason, just doesn't work as good.
Huh.
So, yeah, it would be probably one of those. A lot of the consumer products are dicamba 2,4-D or maybe triclopyr. Yeah. And then just give you a quick update on variable leaf milfoil. We have a bit of a situation with Sugawa Brothers Reservoir. They were having work done by a contractor, and that contractor already had the aquatic plant management permit to do aquatic herbicide treatments. So we got that, we worked with that contractor to transfer the permit to the county so we can get our own treatments done. Planning on transferring the permit back to that contractor if they still have other things that they want to do for that specific reservoir. So it's a water body by water body permit. So you specify which ones you want to have it for. And as a government agency, we can have it for lots of water bodies on the same permit, kind of an umbrella. But that was a little bit of a snag, but we navigated that one. And then we've renewed that permit for all the other water bodies and added on the new ones. So we're set to treat six of the smaller ones. And one of those is somebody who had previously refused to have treatment done. And I just kept in contact with them and kind of explained, you know, what we expect under the law. And they decided that they would rather just have us treated, so.
Are you watching that Sealy one?
Warren Sealy? Yeah, well, that's another one. That's not the one I'm talking about, unfortunately. Yeah, but we're keeping an eye on it. The variable leaf milfoil is growing, but haven't seen it, you know, topped out or anything like that at this point. So
on that point, when it's on that Sealy pond,
right?
Yeah,
I talked to Mr. Jones quite a bit on that, and Townsend's, I guess, is below them. Mm-hmm. They've came in and they put in 8 to 10, like a beer keg, about half the size of a beer keg.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put some other, sound like concrete on something going down in,
mm-hmm.
where the bacteria will grow on that. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they're trying to starve this milfoil out.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to run electricity to it. He run some of them from his house, and some of it was down below. But they were told if the county sprayed, whether they were going to spray in there, they wouldn't guarantee that it wasn't going to hurt their blueberries.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why they really didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, we were working with Townsend Farms specifically for the timing window to make sure not only that we complied with the label regulations, but also that it would work with them and they would be able to get water to the blueberries when they needed to. And so I was pretty confident that we could work something out that would be earlier than they started watering for this year. But yeah, they declined the treatment, so they're gonna see what they can get done with this special mitigation for the nutrients and see what that'll do.
It sounded like it was going to try to starve that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, deprive it of the excess.
They said they put 800,000 into the blueberry farm.
Mm-hmm.
So they were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They sprayed it.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't getting no guarantee that it wasn't going to hang longer than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, originally we were planning to use the fast test to actually test the water and make sure that it was below the threshold. And for them to be organic certified, they just wanted it to be below the threshold of detectable. All the way out, which was reasonable. I was pretty confident we could do that based on the discussions I was having with the industry guys, the contractor and the manufacturer. But yeah, you know, I wish them best of luck, best success, to try to manually pull out all those plants and also reduce the nutrients. I'll be watching that carefully. And then one other note, in August, right around the 12th or so, we'll be partnering up with the Pacific Northwest Invasive Plant Council and WSU's Master Gardeners Program to put on a training for variable leaf milfoil so that people who come to the training can be some of the first detectors and keep an eye out for variable leaf milfoil. And hopeful that we get lots of interest and people can be on the lookout for it. We do have some other plants that are pretty close when you're not very familiar. So I imagine we'll get plenty of reports for parrot feather and, you know, other things. And I don't know if I've mentioned before, but we do have a population of the native milfoil. I believe it's Western water milfoil, the Hipparoides, that's out in the Ridgefield National Wildlife Refuge area. So that kind of just confirms to us that not only do we have the hybrid, but we also have the native plant as well. So you could be spotting any number of different plants that look pretty close to variable leaf. And with that said, it'll still be very useful to have lots of people out looking for it and inviting us over to come take a look at whatever they find. And then lastly, we did get our order in and have all those tansy ragwort road signs ready to be put up that say, please control tansy ragwort. So we have 100 of those, and I'll also be using up the old ones as well. Probably put the old ones in some of the more hazardous for signs areas. So they're good to be the tip of the spear. And then get the new ones out as well. And I'll put those out just as the weather starts to warm up and we start to see tansy ragwort coming up so that the timing will be pretty on point with where we've been in years past and when people can really start seeing the tansy as well.
I noticed some a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't doubt it.
Got some rosettes and stuff.
Yeah, the beginning plants are very healthy right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris, did we have any public comment?
We didn't unless Don has any public
comment. None submitted in writing?
No, none okay. submitted in writing.
Okay. Okay, but yeah, if you guys have any other specifics on any of the updates, be happy to go over any of that. And yeah, this is what the presentation area looked like. We've got live knotweed plants and a life-size poster of giant hogweed. So that's always very interesting to see people react to how big it really is. Oh, and some also dried canes of the giant hogweed right next to it. And we got the weed-free twine and brochures on weed-free as well.
Good deal.
All right. Okay.
All right. Items from the board?
I noticed here lately that I sprayed real heavy for the horsetail last year. They said it was hard to kill. I see it's coming up again. The roots on that is six or 8 feet deep.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting. What were you spraying it with?
I've used some Roundup, used some Garlana Ultra 4.
Oh.
I was trying to hit it pretty hard. It looked like I killed it, but it's coming in again.
Well, I've heard that for a lot of years.
All the suggestions I've heard is we'll get better drainage. Well, I want the grass to grow, so I want the water there, so.
How healthy is your soil? Because the healthier your soil is, the less it grows.
The what?
It wants to grow in distressed soil, so the healthier your soil is.
Mm-hmm. And I think acidic soil, too.
Yeah, you might lime and see what you get, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I need the lime.
Yeah. The county does.
We always need the lime, yeah.
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 I had a question on, like, red sorrel, sheep sorrel.
Mm-hmm.
I see that everywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the same thing. It really likes the distressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for spraying, how do we...
Yeah, you can use broadleaf herbicides.
Just, it looks like Weedmaster or something like that, one of the dicambas, or is there a better
probably,
one?
Probably, yeah, probably that. And earlier, you know, or as early as you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As soon as we get some dry weather again.
Yeah, as soon as you get that window, yeah.
Okay. And then... Scotch broom, I see some around the end of Heisen Bridge on the county right away there.
Yeah, yeah, we have quite a few spots for Scotch broom, and there's some in Yackel too.
Yeah,
that's
there was some big fields of it up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever sprayed Vastland? Vastlan.
Yeah,
that works pretty dang good on Scotch broom.
Yeah. Yeah, reviews that we have heard have been pretty mixed. There have been lots of different people in the four county CWA. So just right around the Portland and metro area. lots of different agencies have switched and were using that because it's aquatic and better profile just for the workers. Since it's not a danger label, it's not the amine formulation. But they were saying that it's just not quite as good for certain things, and especially for garlic mustard, was one of the things that we specifically heard feedback on. And I haven't personally used it, but I think our office has used Vastland sometimes.
Yeah. They use it quite a bit when you run a woody.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it just, torches blackberries, it torches any of the small tree growth that you've got on borders that you want to kill down.
Mm-hmm.
It just works really well, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to shoot it with a cannon. You, in most cases, you can use a mild mix and it will work.
Mm-hmm.
It just, how long do you want it to take to get down to the roots and start, you know, killing the tree? But I mean, Scotch broom's always been a pain in the butt, but this will knock it down. Like with your horsetail. If you spray your horsetail at the very beginning of your field growth, it'll kill it back until after you do your harvest. But if you wait until it gets up and really starts to open up, then you're just stuck with it until you cut it down. So,
and what's that called? What was that called?
I mean, what I used on that was Weedmaster.
Oh, Weedmaster.
Yeah, but if you spray it early, It'll you're not going to kill the root, but it'll take the top off, melt it down, and then you can. It takes about 2 months before it starts growing back up to any amount, so it gives you plenty of time normally to spray it before your fields get high, and then to be able to get out and harvest your field before it actually starts vigorously trying to grow back.
So this might be a question for Kevin Tyler. Is next to me is a piece of county property, and on it is a Scotch broom coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the county would be upset if we went and torched that Scotch broom for them?
Yeah.
They would be?
Yeah, you could just tell us where it is and we'll take care of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's real easy to tell. It's right alongside the sidewalk on
190. Oh, it's in the,
I think I've seen
the median?
Yes. Well, I've seen that one.
Yeah. So.
I'll let our team know.
Okay, yeah.
It's right in that planting strip, right?
Yeah, I guess they call it a planting strip. I don't know what.
Yeah.
They got planted too.
Yeah.
You sure it's not French broom?
Huh?
That'd be worse.
Yeah. It doesn't have little, little deals around, you know, the frou-frou skirt, you know, so it's not French, no.
Okay. Any additional questions from the board? No? Next meeting, August 5th, same time, same place?
Yeah.
So, I guess I can adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
And we can visit or take off, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Justin, how, oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.